Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Suraksha Diagnostics Limited Q3 and 9-month FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ashish Tendulkar from MUFG Intime. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. From the management team, we have Dr. Somnath Chatterjee, Chairman and Joint Managing Director, Mrs. Ritu Mittal, Joint MD and CEO, Mr. Amit Saraf, CFO, and Mr. Bal Gopal Jhunjhunwala, GM Finance. Before we proceed with this call, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risk and uncertainty. For more details, kindly refer to the investor presentation and other filings that can be found on the company's website and stock exchanges. Now, I would like to hand over the call to the management for opening remarks. Thank you.
This is Dr. Somnath Chatterjee. Good morning and welcome you all to the discussion on our quarter three and nine-month FY25 results. Our financial results and investor presentation have already been uploaded to the exchanges, and I trust you had a chance to review them. We are very happy to report that we delivered a strong performance during the third quarter and the nine months ending December 31st, 2024. We are buoyantly confident that we are well-positioned for continued revenue growth and margin expansion over the long term. We would like to acknowledge here that our performance in the third quarter had an impact from some external factors. Primarily among them was the doctor's agitation that affected us. Also, the patient flow from Bangladesh was severely restricted during that period. However, we are glad to inform you that things have reached complete restoration as far as the doctor's movement is concerned. Furthermore, patients from Bangladesh are also increasing every day now. Considering the seasonality, top-line growth, and profitability, both remained strong in this quarter too. The East of India provides us with the largest unpenetrated market for organized diagnostics in the country, and we are fully leveraging that in terms of adding newer geographies to our list of new centers. As committed, we remain focused on delivering the latest technology in the diagnostic space. Suraksha has added a number of newer technologies to its reference lab, such as the microarray, Sanger sequencing, etc. This will make Suraksha the largest genomics platform in the East and enable it to rapidly expand its B2B segment. Recently, with sadness, we announced the departure of our CFO, Amit. We thank Amit for all his wonderful services, especially during the demanding IPO process, and wish him all the best for the future. At the meeting held on February 8, 2025, the Board of Directors approved the appointment of Mr. Ravindra K.S. as the CFO with effect from March 1, 2025. He will also act as the Group CFO. Ravindra is a finance professional with over two decades of experience. He holds a BCom degree and is a chartered accountant. He was a Group CFO at Medica Hospitals Group, Group Finance Controller at Narayan Hrudayalaya, and Group Manager Finance at Aditya Birla Group Limited, among others. We look forward to working closely with Ravindra on areas such as financial management and strategic planning. In summary, I want to state that the company remains committed to driving shareholder value over the long term while doing so in an extremely responsible manner. With that, I would like to hand over the call to Mrs. Ritu Mittal, our CEO, who will brief you about the overall operations of the company. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Chatterjee, and thank you to all the participants for attending the call. Looking at this market, we believe it remains one of the least penetrated, which gives us significant room to grow in the future. The diagnostic industry, which includes both radiology and pathology, is a space where we are strategically positioned to perform well in both segments. Our strong brand recall is another key strength. With 94% of our revenue coming from B2C and over 30 years in the industry, we've built a trusted name in the market. Additionally, the Northeast and East markets, where we have a particularly strong presence, are among the highest paying segments in diagnostics. This gives us a clear edge not just to grow but also to achieve higher profitability. Looking ahead, we remain focused on internal growth, particularly by expanding our network with new centers and exploring inorganic growth opportunities. These strategies will help strengthen our position in the markets where we already have a dominant presence. We are confident that these efforts will continue to drive strong business growth and margin expansion moving forward. In terms of inorganic growth, we are actively looking for strategic partnerships and acquisitions that align with our long-term vision and values. We believe that the right acquisitions will not only expand our geographic footprint but also allow us to diversify our service offerings. Whether it's through expanding our network of diagnostic centers, acquiring smaller players with complementary capabilities, or investing in specialized diagnostic services. We are committed to making a smart, value-accretive moves that will strengthen our market position. Let me now highlight our continued growth in expanding our diagnostic centers network. In the quarter, we added 2 new centers, bringing our total to 53 diagnostic centers as of December 2025. Our commitment to expansion remains strong, with plans to add 12 to 15 new centers each year. As of December 2024, we've added 5 new centers, and in January 2025, we began operations at 1 additional center. The remaining 6 centers are on track to be operational by March 2025. Positioning us to further strengthen our presence and service capabilities in the region. The doctor strike and such other external factors have temporarily weighed on our expansion plans. I am also pleased to share some key figures that showcase our expanding network. We currently operate 53 centers in total, which include 24 small centers, 11 medium-sized centers, 14 large centers, and 4 PPP centers. Alongside this, we also have 9 labs, 132 polyclinic chambers, and 187 collection centers. Over the past 9 months, we've had the privilege of serving 0.9 million patients and performing approximately 4.87 million tests in total. For 9 months FY25, the company conducted 5.42 tests per patient. These numbers are a testament to the steady growth of our network and our ongoing dedication to provide high-quality healthcare services to an ever-growing patient base across the region at a reasonable price. To conclude, we believe that Suraksha Diagnostics is well-positioned to further enhance its dominant position in the East. We are very encouraged by the opportunities that lie ahead in terms of both organic and inorganic growth. With that, I would like to invite Mr. Amit Saraf to discuss in more detail about Q3 and 9-month FY25 results. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. This is Amit Saraf. Thanks, Ritu ma'am, for handing over the call. I will now provide brief insights of financial results for the quarter and 9 months ended December 25. For Q3 FY25, our total income reached INR 601.1 million, which was an impressive growth of 14.1% year-on-year. For 9 months FY25, our total income stood at INR 1,900.3 million, up 14.4% compared to the same period last year. Given that the third quarter coincides with the festival season in India, getting tested is not a priority for most of the people. Besides, cold weather conditions prevailed during the October to December period, thereby naturally lowering demand for diagnostic services. Essentially, the third quarter usually turns out to be seasonally weak quarter for diagnostic and testing players. In addition, we were also impacted by the doctor strike, which also impacted our operations during the quarter. The third quarter seasonality and impact of doctor strike reflected in the sharp decline in our profitability during Q3 FY25. EBITDA increased by 16.7% year-on-year to reach INR 188.6 million, driven largely by operating leverage and aided by cost control measures. For 9 months FY25, EBITDA jumped by 22.4% to reach INR 650.8 million. The Q3 FY25 EBITDA margin improved by 49 basis points year-on-year to 31.7%, and for 9 months FY25, the EBITDA margin widened by 229 basis points year-on-year to 34.8%. Our profitability after tax also surged by 31.9% year-on-year in Q3 FY25 to INR 59.8 million. While the corresponding figure in the first 9 months of FY25 stood at INR 238.1 million, reflecting an impressive 41.7% year-on-year growth. Consequently, the company reported a Q3 FY25 PAT margin of 10.1% compared to 8.8% generated in Q3 FY24. We continue to be disciplined in our approach to achieving sustainable growth. Our operations metrics also held up reasonably well despite the seasonality. For 9 months FY25, the average revenue per patient amounted to INR 2084 in comparison to 2099 in the first half of FY25. The average EBITDA per patient reached INR 725 in 9 months FY25 compared to INR 761 in the first half of FY25. The revenue per lab was INR 208 million in the 9 months ended FY25. To conclude, even in seasonally weak quarter, our performance has been strong with a notable improvement in top-line growth and margins on year-on-year basis, while the operating metrics has also held up well in our view. Our focus on technology investments and operational efficiency will continue to reflect in our results. As this is my last conference call for Suraksha Diagnostic, I take this opportunity to thank Dr. Chatterjee and Ritu ma'am for showing their support and belief in me. I wish the company all the best in its future endeavors. I would now request the moderator to open the floor for question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Siddharth Kanodia from Tux Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. So, ma'am, I have a couple of questions. My first question is, how much of the revenue loss was because of the doctor strike?
It would be to a tune of around 10 to 12 crores.
Top line 10 to 12 crores?
Yes, for the year.
Sorry? For the quarter?
For the year. That means for quarter 2 and quarter 3 are most impacted by these doctor strikes. Overall, it's okay. A 10 to 12 crore revenue loss.
10 to 12 crores, okay. And ma'am, I was seeing there is a significant drop in the margins. Like from 35, we have reported 31.5%, 32%. It's because of the seasonal weakness, right?
So the margin dip is basically because of the lower top line. Because approximately 28% of our expenses are variable, while the rest is fixed in nature. So as revenues decline, therefore the fixed expenses take a hit on the margin.
Okay. Like Q1, we did a similar top line and our margins were close to 35%. So this time also we have reported 60 CR. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, this time also we have reported 60 CR. So is it because of the new centers our fixed cost has increased?
Yes, absolutely. Because like we mentioned, we've already added 6 centers. and 5 by quarter 3, and therefore the costs have gone up in comparison to revenue.
Okay. Ma'am, can you let us know what is the monthly run rate, like per center, like in the first year of the commissioning, does it reach break even in the second year, or is it EBITDA positive in the first year itself?
So typically a small center and a medium center becomes EBITDA positive in 3 to 4 months, and a big center takes around 6 to 7 months to become EBITDA positive.
So the for the full year, it will contribute to the EBITDA margins?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. And like the 6 centers we are opening in Q4, can you give us the breakup between small, big and medium?
Yeah, so out of the 6, there are 2 EPPs that will open. There will be 2 big centers and 2 small centers.
2 small centers. So far the 5 centers we have done, it's only 1 big center, right?
1 big center, 1 medium center, 1 small center and 2 PPP.
Okay, so for the year we are opening 3 big centers.
Yes. And there will be another one which will open, like the work has started, which will open in the first quarter of the next financial year.
Next. So that will, like, the next 10 centers or 12 centers will be in the FY26.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And how is the Q4 shaping up? Like, are we like the doctor strike which impacted Q2, Q3? Are we going to see the revenue going up?
Doctor strike impact has definitely worn off now, but Bangladesh patients are still impacting the business in a small way, but we still think we will be on our targets.
Okay. How much of the revenue comes from Bangladesh, like overall, before this whole political thing?
This is extremely difficult to say because they don't register themselves as Bangladeshi patients. They will always give you Indian addresses, you know, but what we have seen is on an average we deal with about 100 in fair times, we deal with about 100 patients a day from Bangladesh. That has gone down drastically, but medical visas are again being given and things are almost coming back to normal. And we believe this quarter we are seeing the green shoots already. So should be equivocal or better. The year-on-year growth, even in this quarter, will be maintained.
Right. And when we talk about the doctor strike, is this the same issue of the Arjikar, or is it a separate issue?
No, this is the same issue as Arjikar. This has more or less died down now completely. But okay, when it happened, it genuinely had its impact. But it had more impact on the hospitals than on the diagnostics. And similarly with Bangladesh, it has more impact on hospitals than diagnostics. But both suffer to a certain extent. Both of them suffer.
Right. Okay. That will be it. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Devang Mehra from SKB Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So I have a couple of questions. So competitors are entering your region, and are you planning like a foray into their market as well? If yes, by when you are planning to enter the market outside the East, and when? I'm sorry, where?
So right now, as we know, Eastern India happens to be the least penetrated market as far as structured diagnostic is concerned. And it has 28% of the country's population, which is around 40 crores. So our focus is going to be Eastern India and Northeastern India for the time being. And therefore, you know, we are talking about organic expansion of adding 12 to 15 centers every year going forward.
But you are correct in a sense that approaches are coming. That is something we have seen in recent times. A lot of approaches are coming from Chhattisgarh, from MP. What we strongly believe is East has the biggest growth opportunity because it has not only the population, if you look at it, the paying capacity is premium. It is in parallel with that of the West. And the market, especially that of Northeast, is almost a vacuum for organized players. So today, and you will also reflect on the idea that organized diagnostics is growing at a faster click. So we strongly believe that there will be a lot of opportunities in the coming months for us to acquire unorganized centers in the East itself. And that will definitely add to our strength.
Okay, sir. Got it. So next question is, what are you seeing in terms of B2B partnership? Are you gaining any traction there?
So you see 93% of our revenue is coming from B2B, and that's the model we operate in. We are definitely focusing on B2B business, but not at the heavily discounted business that B2B does. We are focusing on super specialty vertical. We have established ourselves as the leader in this area with unique offerings, including the only cytogenetic lab in the whole of Eastern India, the only mass spectroscopy facility, and the only fully configured next-gen sequencing lab in Eastern India. So basically, we have a genetic lab that is only present in Suraksha in the whole of East and Northeast. So this is the vertical that we would like to strengthen and get our business in B2B.
As a matter of fact, you will see that diagnostic has all along remained a regional thing. So we strongly believe that even in the high-end sector, you know, super specialty, which today is mainly molecular biology and genomics, there will be a regional leader from the East. And Suraksha, having the infrastructure already built in and now having added capability, will take that position, that it will be the place to go for all high-end molecular and genomic tests in the whole of East and Northeast India. Even regarding this, we are seeing a very positive traction in the market.
Okay, sir. Got it. Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pratik Poddar from Bandhan AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. So just one question. You talked about 100 patients on a day coming from...
Sir, can you speak a little louder, please?
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I was just asking, you talked about 100 patients a day coming from Bangladesh. What is this 100 back to?
It is back to about 25-30 again. It is like I commented, you know, it is increasing every day because a large part of Bangladesh population, especially in the bordering districts of Jashore, Kumilla and all that, are completely dependent on India, especially Calcutta and its surrounding for its diagnostics. It is not only Calcutta, but we have centers which are absolutely in the border areas of Bangladesh, like Gujarat, like Bongao, like Habra. So we have centers which are very, very close to the border, and we are seeing an increased footfall there. So, and also the hospitals are also receiving more Bangladeshi patients. That is again coming back.
Got it. And I just wanted to understand, is this business lost forever or you see a pent up coming back? Sorry. Just wanted to understand from this doctor strike plus the Bangladeshi impact which has had an impact on the last two quarters. is this business lost or this will come back in Q1, Q2 or maybe let's say Q4, Q1, Q2 of let's say this
year? Some of this business will definitely be lost, you know. The acute cases will be lost. But as you know, 67% of India's disease burden is chronic non-infective diseases, CNID. And of that, the majority is cardiac and renal. So diabetes and hypertension take the burden. So these volume will always come back to you. It might have been temporarily disturbed, but millions and millions of people suffer from diabetes and hypertension. These are chronic patients. So they will never go away. They will always be with you.
Got it. And is it fair that only certain percentage of our, let's say, number of centers, only a couple of centers would have got impacted by these two issues and it's not something which is broad-based? So in some regions, the utilization levels would have been very healthy. And this is a phenomena limited to, as you talked about, that certain border area centers, etc. And hence, we are seeing this lower operating, lower revenue per center. Is that the way to think about it? That's a fair understanding?
Yeah, some of the centers which cater to metropolitan areas of Calcutta hardly got affected. But then one will also have to understand that the volume of Bangladesh patients in Calcutta is pretty fair number. So bordering centers definitely has an effect. Bordering districts did have the major effect. But all centers got slightly affected, of course, because these patients mainly come for hospital treatment. And they get the investigations done outside because diagnostic centers provide a much cheaper solution for diagnostic for these patients. So there is a bit of effect on all centers. But you are very correct when you say that the border district centers have got affected majorly.
Would you quantify how many centers of yours would be actually running below utilizations and how many are actually growing? Because on a blended basis, you know, there is some distortion. How many centers would have got affected by these two issues in your view?
Barring centers in Assam and Bihar, and all centers will have got affected somehow or the other, you know. Because Bengal and Bangladesh, West Bengal and Bangladesh have almost, and also for that matter Tripura, have almost a porous border. So patients come in every day and go back every day. So that is not true for either Patna or Guwahati, but barring that, everybody would have got affected a little or more.
Got it, sir. Thank you. Thanks. Very helpful.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Sahil Bora from NS Association. Please go ahead.
Hello sir, good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. I just had a few questions. My first question is, what are you seeing in terms of average pricing of the tests that you conduct? If you have raised prices, how have the customers reacted to it?
Sir, we have not raised prices as yet. We actually go for a 3 to 4% hike at the end of the financial year. So, and one thing I would like you to consider, that diagnostics is actually a very small ticket event in healthcare. So, the rise does not actually always bother the patients unless it's a huge rise. So, and our annual rate of increase overall is about 3 to 4%. That too in alternate years and So we do not see any effect of that on our patient population.
Understood, understood. So my next question is, how many large, medium and small centers do you plan to open in the next 3 years?
So typically we plan to open 12 to 15 centers every year, and the ratio would be around 1:3 or 1:4 depending on the territories that we are setting up centers in. So you would appreciate the fact that when you get into a new territory, a small center will have no impact. So there you are, you generally we plan and make a big center. So our ratio would be around 1:3 or 1:4 for large to medium or small centers.
Okay, thank you for that. And lastly, what is your strategy with respect to public-private partnerships, and do you plan to expand in this space in the near future?
The simple way to put is, we are not gung-ho on PPP, but being the biggest player in West Bengal also has its obligations, so we do participate in some of them. We are in the process of putting up an MR in the biggest medical college of West Bengal, that is Calcutta Medical College. So a couple of things genuinely help you. One is definitely the rates are discounted, but the numbers are humongous. You end up doing 100 plus cases a day. The advantage is Suraksha in the process gets exposed to a large number of young radiologists who are doing their post-graduation or post-graduation work. So Suraksha becomes a familiar name to them. And the other thing is of complete academic interest, that being positioned in a good medical college or a good hospital allows you for a lot of publications which are very important to the doctors themselves. You know, ultimately it is also a question of fame. And fame is very much dependent on how many publications you have. So these medical colleges help us that way. That one is to keep in touch with the academic world continually. Two is a large number of junior radiologists become familiar. And in some cases they would be joining us in future. Some of them have joined us from medical different medical colleges. That is one definite advantage of this.
Okay. Thank you, sir, for the detailed response. All the very best. Thank you. That's it from me.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Siddharth Kanodia from Tux Investments. Please go ahead.
Yes, Siddharth.
Yeah, hi. The PPP model which you just mentioned, like we have 4 PPP right now currently. So what is the margins that is contributing overall, what, EBITDA margins?
Two of them have opened about a month back. So it's just getting familiar. So, but if you take as an average, we have 1 PPP in NRS Medical College for a long time. Balgopal is the profitability.
30% EBITDA margin.
That works on a 30% EBIT margin.
Okay. And the old centers which we have, which is like around 40, maybe 40 plus old centers, what sort of EBITDA margins are we targeting for, like, in the next 2-3 years? Like, can we go to 40-41%?
Yes. Yes. It is at around 40-41%.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankita Agarwal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for this opportunity. So I would like to know, please, could you break down your annual capex into maintenance and growth? And what are the proportion towards maintaining capex?
So CapEx outlay that we have budgeted is around 70 crore per year. Out of this, maintenance would be to the tune of 5%-7% every year, and the rest is all expansion based.
Okay, thank you. I have follow-up questions. Regarding the high amount of leases appearing on the balance sheet, could you explain how we should look at leases? Are they quasi-debt?
See, we have received these number of questions several times from individual investors. I want to provide some color on the lease liabilities which is appearing on the balance sheet. Under Ind AS 116, leases are not considered as traditional debt. Rather, there is an accounting adjustment that recognizes the present value of future lease payment as a liability. This adjustment is regarding under Ind AS 116 to ensure that lease obligations are transparently presented in the financial statements. The payments are split into principal repayment, reducing lease liability and interest expense. In other words, the lease liability which reflects future rent payment as per lease contracts rather than an increase in financial debt. They represent a contractual obligations to pay rent. However, they should not be mistaken as borrowing. I hope I answered your question.
Yes, yes. Also regarding the number of centers opened during Q3 FY 2025, I would.
So in FY 2025, till December 2025, we have opened five new centers, and one center has been added in January, and are in process of adding another six to eight centers in February and March.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Sakshi Trivedi from Trivedi and Associates. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I just want to ask, do you have a target for market share in mind in the East? What is the opportunity you see, and will the competition impact you?
So the market share that we think of getting in the East is around 3%, which is also very similar to the leaders, the regional leaders in the diagnostic play in their core geographies.
Okay, ma'am. So my next question would be, like, would you be able to sustain the 20-30% pricing premium if we expand the current base?
Yes, we would, because, like we mentioned, East India is the least penetrated market as far as quality diagnostics is concerned, and therefore, the premium remains because of lack of availability.
Fair enough. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish from GM Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Ma'am, could you give some color on how our Polyclinic Chamber Association, so that venture is going on now? Any update on how's it going?
Yes. So we, as we add centers, we also add the number of chambers, and therefore, the number of doctors also keep getting added in a similar fashion. And our revenue from doctor fees is also picking up. Our conversion has also improved in the past quarter. So we are on track as far as our polyclinic business is concerned.
Okay. And ma'am, for future years, obviously, last quarter con call, you did mention that you are targeting revenue growth of 15%, and obviously, 300 basis points of margin expansion every year. So this kind of a guidance stays, and so that was my first question.
Yes, it stays.
And also, could you help us with the seasonality? We understand that third quarter is the leanest quarter, but what are your best quarters in the business? If you could help us understand that.
Our best quarter is quarter two and quarter four. And quarter three for the whole industry is definitely a lower seasonal quarter. But if we look at year on year, we have shown a growth of around 14.5%.
And any plans of doing an M&A?
We are continuously exploring opportunities. So whenever we find something that suits us, has the same kind of value system and quality controls that we want, we would definitely go ahead in it.
Okay. So this CapEx plan, you said 70 CR, so that does not include any potential M&A targets, right?
No, it does not include the acquisitions.
Okay. And for how long do you feel this kind of center openings will continue? Is it a three-year vision that you guys are taking or how is it?
So for 3 years, we definitely want to reach a number of 100 in the next 3 years. And then we would definitely plan to focus on the businesses from these centers, stabilize all the centers, all the 100 centers, and then go ahead with the next centers that we want to plan.
Okay, great. Yeah, that's it. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Surya Narayan Patra from Philip Capital. Please go ahead. Sir, your voice is not audible.
Hello.
Hello. So your voice is not audible. Can you speak a little louder?
Yeah. Is it audible now?
Yeah. Now it's better.
The first question was about the mix of business that you would be getting from the Bangladesh region. So is it a kind of sizable one? Or is it possible?
Can you kindly be a little louder, please?
This is about Bangladesh. Am I audible right now, sir?
Yes, you're better.
I was talking about the Bangladesh patient's contributions to the overall business. So is it a meaningful in the overall business? Is it 10%, 20% like that? Or could you quantify what is the share of them? And whatever impact that we have seen because of them not participating or not contributing, whether it has impacted equally to the pathology as well as radiology business?
As I said, you know, it is very difficult to quantify Bangladesh because they will never give Bangladesh as their address. They will give an Indian address and they will pay you in Indian currency. So very rarely you find some of them to be asking that, can I get a Bangladeshi currency change? So it is difficult to quantify, but it definitely it has effects on two cities. One is Chennai, the other is Calcutta. These two cities definitely have effects if Bangladesh has some issues. But needless to say, you know, diagnostics has a lesser effect. Hospitals bear the brunt of that. Because people don't come from normal surgery. People come for high-end surgeries. And how the diagnostic benefits is when they come for such major treatment, the investigation is done outside the hospital premises because it is much cheaper to do them in diagnostic centers than the hospital. To surmise, what one can say, there is definitely an effect of Bangladeshi patients on the hospital industry, to a lesser extent on the diagnostic industry. But it is there. One cannot say it is not there.
Okay, sir. So is it fair to believe that the radiology would have got a bigger hit than the pathology?
Oh, it is. These cases come in the same proportion, you know, which is around 56% pathology and 45% radiology. The mix is the same, as is evidenced in the overall performance. It is not that somebody will only do radiology and not do pathology. It is not like that. They come for major treatments, so it usually involves both. Of course, it has its share of specialized tests, which are not available in Bangladesh, so you also get that. So that can be high-end radiology, that can be high-end pathology, both.
My next question is on the chronic venous chamber. So obviously we have seen the number getting added 9, which is the center addition this quarter versus last quarter. But over a longer period of time, how do you see this polyclinic chamber numbers expanding?
As we add centers, polyclinic numbers are increasing. Also, what is happening is now a lot of branded healthcare players are coming to us, the hospital chains specifically, they are requesting us to allow their in-house doctors to come and practice with us, especially in the peripheral center. That is a new green shoot that we are observing, that a number of hospital chains have come to us and requested us whether we can accommodate their super specialists in our polyclinic. So that definitely is a very positive green shoot, you know.
So you have given the revenue mix between the pathology, radiology, polyclinic, but is it possible to share what is the value mix of tests between pathology and radiology?
This part of your conversation was not clear. Ratio of
pathology to revenue mix. Value mix between pathology and radiology.
So our pathology is 56% and our radiology is 44%.
That is the revenue mix you have indicated, huh?
Volume mix.
Yes.
Yes, volume. Just give me a minute.
50 or 46.
Yes, volume.
One-fourth of our radiology. 75.5
cost. So, it will be around 75% will be pathology and 25% will be radiology.
Volume-wise.
And this will be the trend even for the previous period also?
You are very unclear. Can you please speak louder?
Yeah, so whether this was the trend even in the period so far in the YSD?
Can you please repeat?
Whether this mix was, this trend was similar in the first half also?
Yes, for previously also this trend was similar in terms of, because the radiology costs are higher in comparison to pathology costs in general.
Okay. Just last one question from my side, the specialized test in the pathology, that is around 45%. So could you share what has been the trend so far and what is the kind of mix that you are target or replacing going ahead?
Yeah, I'm clear about your question, sir.
Okay, I'm just trying my luck one second. I'm trying my luck for once again. So I'm asking the specialized tests mix. What has been the kind of mix that you, for this period now it is 45%, but in terms of the trajectory over the last 1 year period, what it has been, how it has improved or what has changed? And going ahead, let's say over the 2 years, what is the kind of change in the mix that you are witnessing?
So see, in terms of revenue mix from radiology and pathology, in general it is
around 54% from pathology and 45% from radiology. And it is being observed that since last 2-3 years, the mix is more or less the same. It's around 53 and 45, 46, or 54 and 45, 46. It's pretty much similar in last 2-3 years. 1% here or there.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you must press star and one to ask this question. The next question is from the line of Siddharth Kalodia from Tux Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Can you just shed some light on the performance of the subsidiaries? Like, what is the AIR model and like, are we burning cash or is it at, like, all the subsidiaries are at break even?
So, see, in terms of subsidiaries, AIR is already EBITDA positive and is earning profits. AIR has started in May 24 only, and by December 24, it has already started doing profits. In fact, the profit before tax in quarter December 24 was 11.87 lakhs. So, and in terms of Suraksha Radiology, which is another subsidiary, this is started, basically two PPP models has been started under this, and this is currently not even break even because of it started in only in August September month. So this is the status of our subsidiary.
Okay, and what is this AIR model exactly?
The AIR model is Suraksha owns 60% of the equity and the doctors own 40% equity, 20% each between Dr. Orgo Chattopadhyay and Dr. Patrudeep Das. So the model, the business model is they deal with all rheumatology and immunology patients. They have around 30 doctors sitting in their polyclinic, which includes two of the biggest names of Calcutta, Professor Sukumar Mukherjee and Professor Alopendu Ghosh. So both the doyens sit there and they conduct investigations, most of which are outsourced to Suraksha, and then they also carry on therapy, which is administration of biosimilars. So they have an 8-bedded daycare center where they provide this therapy, and they also have started making outreach clinics. They are already sitting in Burdwan, Asansol, in one of Suraksha centers in Baliganj. So gradually they are increasing their footprint all through our chain.
Okay. Okay, got it.
The,
so when
the,
talking about
the working of rheumatology is, unfortunately, these diseases are never curable, you know. What the doctor at best tries is to give you as much possible as a normal life. But the diseases, being autoimmune in nature, will flare up once in a while. So they have patients of long duration. And they are quite good at what they do. They were complaining the other day that they cannot give an appointment for the next 1 month. They are fully booked out. So, should do very well in future, God willing.
Right.
And this being a new emerging discipline of medicine, also has very large investigative component.
Got it. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. As that was the last question for the day, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
We thank you all for being with us. We are extremely grateful. Some of you are remain our current investors. What we can see, what we can tell you is centers are coming, getting added at a very fast click that you will observe over the next couple of quarters. Some of the centers which are getting built in our core territory are breaking even also very, very fast. So we look ahead to a great future, and positive acquisitions are being prepared. Hopefully we can share the good news very soon with you. Thank you. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. On behalf of Suraksha Diagnostic Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.